Turn your Bibles here this morning to Proverbs 23, and as we continue our series, I'll tell my message here this morning. The appetites of the heart, the appetites of the heart. Proverbs 23, in verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. And be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful foods. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for our scripture here before us. Pray you guide our thoughts. And Father, I thank you that your word is eternal. And Father, I thank you your word speaks with authority. And I thank you that your word is God-breathed. And this is the living word of God. Father, bless your word to our hearts and help me to honor your son, Jesus Christ, and to honor your word. Father, bring forth fruit for your kingdom. May each heart be strengthened in the faith and drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Proverbs are these little nuggets of truth to help guide us in our lives. I was telling my wife, Nancy, I was reading over this portion of scripture on Friday, and that's when we were going to the banquet at Shady Maple. And verse 2 says, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. I said, oh, great. You know, I'm just reading this right before I go to Shady Maple, you know. And said, I was just laughing about that, but... But, you know, God's word is so practical for us. Now, in this passage here, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler. Now, there are situations that arise in life that we have. And Proverbs is trying to paint a picture. And this word is for you and for me. This word is written for us. The things of Scripture are written for our admonition and our strengthening in our faith. So when you have an opportunity to eat with a ruler, and that ruler is somebody in authority, a ruler is somebody that has power, a ruler is somebody that has authority over people, and you come to eat with this person, consider diligently what is put before thee. You're thinking. But see, that's what a wise man does. A wise man is thinking about where they are, what they're doing, where they're going. They're thinking. They're processing. And Proverbs consider what is set before thee. Put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Now, when you read this, on one level, it's warning you, don't make a glutton of yourself. Don't make a pig of yourself. Don't eat too much when you're before this ruler, because this ruler is looking at you and evaluating you and thinking about you. And you don't want to make a bad impression by eating too much. On one level, it's put a knife to thy throat. This is a way of saying, just watch how much you eat if you're a man given to appetite. And verse 3 goes on to expound this idea. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are, what kind of food are they called? What is it called there in verse 2? Or 3 rather. In verse 3, be not desirous of his dainties, they are what type of food? Deceitful. Now think about that for a minute. Deceitful food, because some things can look so appealing. Now, in the Garden of Eden, when Satan offered Eve the fruit, was that a deceitful food? Was that a deceitful fruit? It was. We've got to be careful that Satan doesn't lay a trap for us, because things can be so appealing, they look good, and we can bite it and not realize it's not the best thing for us. Now, Proverbs is trying to help us be one that finishes our race well. Proverbs is trying to teach us how to live victorious, how to be an overcomer, how to know good from bad, right from wrong, how to be aware of the pitfalls that people can fall themselves into. Be not desirous of his dainties, his delicacies, for they are deceitful foods. Now, read verse 4. Labor not to be rich. Wait a minute. We go from food to rich. What's the connection there? And I want you to think this through. You're a young man. You go to some important person. He's a ruler, and he's got all this food just poof, everywhere. And you're just eating and enjoying yourself. And you look at this ruler and say, man, that guy's got power. Look what his position provides from all this good eating. I'm going to be like him. I want this power. I want this riches. I want this all this stuff that can give me so I can eat, drink, and be merry. You know, on one level, you can just say, well, they're talking about food. But on another level, Be not desirous as dainties, for they are deceitful foods. Labor not to be rich. Don't be hooked in that just because somebody has power and authority and they have all this good stuff, I want to be like them. I want to be like them. If you get your mind fixed on riches, labor not to be rich. In other words, it has an idea of overworking. Overworking to be rich. You ever heard the term a workaholic? I heard a man's testimony one time. He was a workaholic. And I'm just telling you his story. He said that he paid more in taxes than most people earned in a year. That was his story. He worked day and night to get his business built up. The only problem was he wasn't working at home. He wasn't taking care of his wife. He wasn't taking care of his children. And his family went AWOL, blew apart. And as he thought about his life, and he later gave his life to Christ and got saved, as he looked back, he realized he poured everything into his business and nothing into his family. He lost his wife. He lost his kids. This one child committed suicide. Terrible, just terrible. And when Scripture says here, don't overwork yourself to be rich. Don't be a workaholic to be rich. Don't give everything to one part of your life and nothing to the other. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own. What's that next word? Wisdom. Cease from your own wisdom, because if working 6 days is good, working 7 days is what? Better. Doesn't that make sense? But is that what God says? See, in our wisdom, we say, yeah, I can work 6 days a week, but how about if I start working seven? Huh, I gain one more. Now, God has given his people a day of what? Rest. You are not made to go 24/7, 7 days a week. That is a disaster waiting to happen. Emotional, physical, psychological problems can happen to people that overexert themselves. You've meant to have rest. God, in his wisdom, has given us a day of rest. On the Lord's Day, first day of the week, Sunday, is a day of rest for God's people. A day of rest means a day of rest. That's important because you'll have a better, richer life. God can give you more in 6 days of hard work than 7 days of hard work. Because if you honor, God says, if you honor me, I will honor what? You. And on the day of rest, what do? We worship God. It's a day we come together to worship God. And people that are too busy to worship God are just too busy. And Scripture makes it plain, cease from your own what? Wisdom. This is what I think. God says, you stop that. Right now, just stop it. I say a day of rest is important to you. Be not desirous of his dainty, they're deceitful meat. Sometimes we can look at somebody that's got things all together and they look so good. I want to be like that. Proverbs says those are deceitful. You've got to be careful what you set your eyes on. That looks good, it tastes good. But let's see what else it has to say here. It says, will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves what? Wings. Okay. Can the stock market go up? Can the stock market go down? What happened to your riches? They just flew away. See, sometimes we think, oh, it just goes up and up and up and up. I heard a man's testimony one time, young man. And he wanted to make money. And he heard about the stock market. And he went and talked to his banker in his town and says, I don't have any money, but how to invest in the stock market? Banker says, well, young man, this is what you can do. You can borrow money, invest in the stock market. When the stocks go up, you pay what you borrowed off, and you're good to go. He said, that sounds like a good idea. He brought all this money, invested in the stock market. It went up. He was so happy. Things were so good. And he was making his monthly payments, but he had money coming in, and he was good. And guess what happened? Stock market went down. Banker came to him and said, Jim, you've missed 2 months' payments now. We need our money. Oh, I know. What does Proverbs say? The borrower shall be servant to who? The lender. Is that true? And when you get in debt, guess what debt can do to you? It can crush you. See, in your own wisdom, you can think, well, that's how I can make money. But the thing we've got to be careful is we don't presume upon the future. Because guess what? You don't know the future. And you borrow money to invest, but that investment may not always make money for you. And then what you've borrowed, you've got to pay back. And they have a nice place called jail for those that don't pay their bills. And it's not a good place you want to be. See, you've got to be careful you have God's wisdom, not your own wisdom. Well, thou set thine eyes upon that which is not, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Bye. You ever seen a bird just fly? There's your money just flying right away. Now, you know, God has wisdom here for us, how we live our life. Look at verse 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that has an evil eye. Somebody that's stingy. Okay, you've got those that have power and authority. You've got those that have riches. Scripture's cautioning us. Those that have an evil eye, they're stingy, they're miserly, need to be desired of his dainty foods, his dainty meats. Bread of him, his life and his goals. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat, drink, and says thee, but his heart is not what? With you. He's manipulating you. So you've got to be careful in life here. Because there's some people that all they want your money. You go to buy a used car salesman. And you're looking at this car. And the salesman said to you, yeah, this is just owned by a little old lady just went to church on Sunday. You know, you know what I'm trying to say to you? He don't care about you one bit. All he wants to do is sell that car. He's going to take your money and you'll get it out of the parking lot and it's going to break down on you and he couldn't care less about you. They have a 30-30 guarantee, 30 feet or 30 seconds, whichever comes first. That's their guarantee. Because all he wanted was your money. He's going to talk to you like you're his best friend. What does Scripture say? Beware, for as he thinketh in his heart, how does he think? Here comes a dollar bill for me. Eat, drink. Yeah, you're my buddy. But his heart is not with you. The morsel, the car which you has eaten or bought, thou shalt vomit up. And you shall lose all your pleasant words. You know, God is these appetites that Satan can put to have power, to have riches, to be manipulated by people. And God doesn't want us to manipulate people. When we deal with somebody, Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be what? No. You tell them the truth. You don't manipulate people. You don't say one thing to mean another. You speak the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You're honest with people. That's how God wants us to be. Now, God has given us some warning. Verse 1, all the way down to verse 8. The morsel which thou hast eaten, thou shalt vomit up. It's not going to work out like you think. And you know what God realizes? Verse 9. Speak not in the ear of who? A fool. You know, some people don't get it. God can say, beware of riches. Don't borrow money to make money because you can get in debt and you can lose everything. Don't be envious of people. Don't mistreat people and use them. But some people have ears of a fool, for they will despise the wisdom of thy word. You can tell some people, don't do this. It's not going to work out. And they do it what? Anyway. Now, you're a wise person. You've grown in the Lord. God's given you experiences and wisdom. And just beware, you can try to help some people, but you can't help them because they won't help themselves. God says This is how to live life. But they put themselves in the category of a fool. They don't embrace his teaching. They don't embrace the wisdom of God's word. They have thine own wisdom, and they're not going to hear anything God has to say. Now, for some people, because they are laboring, they are overworking. How can I get more money? How can I get more possessions? How can I get more and more and more? Godliness with what? Contentment is great what? Gain. Remove not the old landmarks, and that's property boundaries. Enter not into the field of the fathers. In other words, like you've got property and you're so bent on riches and you want to have more and more and more and more. And you look at the property, you think, well, you know, if that property line was 10 feet over this way, I have all this much more ground. And, you know, they got lots of land. And so you just take that rock and just kick it over a little bit and just see if they say anything. They didn't notice it. So you move it some more and more. And over the years, you just kept moving that property line until all of a sudden you've got twice as much land. And then because it was ever moved so gently, you know, a foot here, a foot there, a day, a week, a month, a year, you just kept kicking that puppy over. God says, don't remove the old landmarks. And don't you enter into the field of the fatherless. Now, that kind of person that wants to gain riches, the field of the fatherless, that's a household that the man of the house is not there. And the children are trying to make a way of living. And you come along because you're big and powerful. You just take advantage of them. They're fatherless. They have no one to speak for them, no one to defend them, no one to help them out. And you're going to take advantage of the weak and the destitute for your own good. God has a word for you because you are the ones that fall. If you think like that, you're in verse 9 there because you're a fool. For verse 11, their Redeemer is what? Mighty. And you defraud people and you cheat people and you take what's not your own to enrich yourself at their expense. God says, wait a minute here. I'm a mighty God. And he shall plead their cause. They may be weak, but guess what? God's not. Now, it kind of works. Somebody said it like this. Sometimes the wheels of God's justice seem to move ever so slowly, but they grind ever so finely. He never misses anything. Does anybody ever get away with their sin? You never get away with it. Because God has a perfect memory. You may have forgotten about it, and God didn't forget about it. You know, it's amazing to me if you go on the internet and you Google DNA cases that have been solved, boom, 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 boom will pop up. And it's amazing, you know, cold cases, 30 years, no way to solve who happened. I remember I read one case one time, this girl was at a Christian college, it's a sad case here. She went to a prayer chapel. They found her next morning murdered in the prayer chapel. Security guard found her. No idea who did it. 30 years later, they didn't. But somebody, through DNA, they looked at, somebody pulled that file out and looked at this unsolved case, and he got looking at it. And the only person that was there was that security guard. And they had some physical evidence from 30 years ago. So they took this, and they got some DNA from that security guard. Boom. They had him. They had the physical evidence. He was the one that killed. And he confessed to it 30 years later. He confessed to killing that girl. Now, what does it say here? For their Redeemer is what? Mighty, and he shall plead there with thee. You don't get away with anything. Don't start down the road of being rich. Don't start down the road of being deceitful to people. Don't start down this road of taking advantage of people. Guess what? You're going to deal with God one day. And God is a mighty God. So what is God's word to us? Verse 12, apply thy heart to what? Instruction, God's word. Apply thine ear to the words of knowledge. God said it, I believe it, I'm going to obey it, I'm going to do it. So if you want to have the word of the Lord in somebody's heart, when do you start with that? What does verse 13 say? When do you start? Withhold not what? Correction from who? The child. That's when you start. When you start taking a young life, a young person, and getting them started on the road of instruction. Because what does chapter 22, verse 15 say about the child? What's in a child's heart? Verse 15, chapter 22 of Proverbs. What's the first word in Proverbs 22:15? Foolishness. That's bound in their heart. It's there. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Yeah. You tell them no, and the first thing they want to do is what you told them not to do. You don't have teaching to be bad. You have teaching to be what? Good. Because foolishness is bound in their heart. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him, verse 15. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod of correction, he shall not what? Die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell, the grave, the abode of the dead. Now, is pain a good thing or a bad thing? Is it good or bad? Could be both. All right. There is a very few people in the world that have CIP. And what that is called, congenital insensitivity to pain. They feel no pain. There was a fella, let me get his name here. I just have his last name here. Betts, no relation to the Bettses in the back here. This guy's in England. He was born with this. When he was a young child, he would stumble and clumsy and fall into things. Parents just thought he may have some mild retard. But when he was about 5 years old, he bit off the tip of his tongue and felt no pain. Didn't even know he did it. And through a process, they realized this child feels no pain. He could feel hot and cold. He could feel, you know, sweat just like normal, but he felt no pain. And this is what he said. He said, Mr. Betts said, people assume that feeling no pain is an incredible thing, and it almost makes you superhuman, Betts said. For people with CIP, like himself, it's the exact opposite. We love to know what pain means and what pain feels like, for without it, your life is full of challenges. And he went on to say, we fear pain, but in developmental terms, from a child being a young adult, pain is an incredibly important process of learning how to modulate your physical activities, for without it, you do damage to your body, and in determining how much risk you take. That's what pain does, how much risk you take. Now, God gave us pain to keep us from what? Hurting ourselves. You know, there's people, usually these people with CIP never live past their 20s. There was a young boy in Pakistan that he had this, and he could walk on hot coals at night. He would stab himself at night, never feel. But he jumped off a roof one time and died because he thought he never felt any pain. He didn't know the limits of his body. Now, in a spiritual sense, can pain help us to know the boundaries of what's good and bad and right and wrong? It keeps us from stepping over the boundaries. God's built pain. Now, when God says here, withhold not correction from a child, for if thou beatest him a rod, he shall not die. You're not going to hurt him permanently. But it's meant to be painful because through that pain, he knows this is a boundary. If I step over this boundary, I'm going to get pain. And guess what? God's built into us, we don't like pain. We don't like it. And so what that does, it gives us a way of creating a boundary. Now, what is the difference between a spanking and child abuse? There's huge. Child abuse is uncontrolled pain by an angry person who is wanting to hurt that child. A spanking is controlled pain by an adult in a right sense of mind who's administering pain in a controlled way to help bring understanding, because Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So in this process here of being a wise person, God had had parents to correct their children in such a way that they know there's pain involved. If they do this, they'll receive pain. By not wanting the pain, they will have the correct behavior. Now, as adults, can you understand why your parents said no to something that you wanted to do as a child? Do you understand it now? Do you understand it? See, when a child, you think, this is a good thing. Parent says, no, it's not good. But when you get older, you look back and you see your eyes through maturity now that you didn't have then, and you say, my parents were right. They were right when they did this. As a child, they may not like the correction, but you know it's for their good ultimately. And if a child should receive a spanking, what my wife and I used to do, I said to them, you chose the spanking. And they look at me, them big brown eyes. I said, Daddy, I didn't choose the spanking. I said, yes, you did, because you did this and I told you not to do it. You chose. What was I doing? I was making them what? Responsible. They are responsible for their actions. I remember some time ago on Facebook, they had this lady that was actually on the news. She was on Facebook herself and saw her son in one of the riots, saw his picture there, and he was watching us. She got so mad, she went out in the house, and somebody else filmed her going after her son, and she was dragging him off the street saying, son, you're not going to be in this crowd throwing rocks. And he said, mom, everybody's doing, and they were having this tug of war. She says, you're not, and she was dragging him home. I like a mama like that. Do you know what I'm saying? Because we need more parents like that saying, you're not doing this. Because guess what? Foolishness is bound in the heart of what? A child. And as parents, we need to draw the line. So deceitful riches and people take advantage of others and those that would rob the poor and the weakless. How does somebody get a good attitude in life and good action? You correct them. Now, what is the joy of that? You correct them. Look at verse 15. The joy comes in. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice. As a parent, if you've taught your son wisdom, you've given him correction, he gets to be a mature man, and he's walking the straight and narrow path, guess what you can do as a parent? Praise God from whom all bless. You can rejoice in that. That your children are living for God, that they're fearing God, they're going to church, and they're having devotions in their home, and they're loving the Lord. You can rejoice in that. Why? Because you did the hard work in verse 13 and 14. Is verse 13 and 14 hard work? Now, I like to take a survey here. How many parents enjoyed correcting their children? Would you please raise your hand? I know. Yes, that's funny, Brandy. Well, that's how she felt her mom did. You know, we don't enjoy it, but guess what? The fruit of righteousness can come years later when they're a wise child and they're walking in wisdom. You can rejoice in that. And that's what verse 15, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. You can have that blessing. Yea, my innermost being, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak what? Right things. That's hard work. God is telling us, hey, don't set your heart on riches. Don't set yourself on power and authority, the rulers. Don't set your eyes on those things which fly away. Don't be manipulative and manipulate people for your own agenda. Don't rob from those and take from those who are weak and helpless. But when you walk the straight and narrow path, you can rejoice in the good things that your children and children's children are doing. Verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners. Now, let not thine heart envy sinners. Is the Hollywood crowd somebody that we want our children to emulate? Do young people put posters of Hollywood celebrities in their bedroom? I've seen it. I've seen it in people's homes. What is verse 17? Let not thy heart envy who? Sinners. Don't go there. In the Christian home, don't go there. If your children are going to emulate somebody, it needs to be somebody worthy of emulation. Somebody that's God-honoring and fears God and has a good testimony and loves God. You go the way of the world and you envy sinners? No, it's not going to be good for you. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. That's who we fear. We fear God. We don't envy sinners. Now, verse 18 in closing. Surely there is an end, a hereafter. Is that true? Okay, now you have chosen in your, I'm going to fear God. I'm not going to play the fool. I'm going to do what's right. Yeah, I can make a lot of money if I cheat and lie and be a workaholic and all these things, but I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to take a day of rest. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to teach my children the right way. I'm going to do the right thing. And God says, I want you to know, surely there is an end, a hereafter. And thy expectation, thy hope shall not be cut off. You're not going to be disappointed. You've done the right thing in the right way, and you've done the best you could with what you've had to work with. God's going to honor that. And God's going to honor those that honor him. There's going to be an end, but your hope is not going to be cut off. You're not going to be disappointed. All that believe in me shall never be put to shame. When you trust God and you do what's right, there's a hereafter. And everybody's going to have to give an account of themselves to God. You think about eternity. Think about where your children and your children's children are. You think about where your own life is going. Surely there isn't a hereafter. Surely there is an end. When Stephen was stoned in Acts 8, he saw the heavens open, and who did he see standing there welcoming him home? Jesus Christ. Did Stephen do the right thing? He was strong in faith. He stood before these men that were unbelievers, and he gave a testimony to God. And at the end, was his hope disappointed? Jesus Christ said, welcome home. Come home, Stephen. You're with me now. See, as believers, we got to think about what we're doing, where it's going. There is going to be a blessing for those that love God and have honored him. Because we'll have, our hope's not going to be cut off. And we've done the right thing. And we've stuck by the stuff here. And we've honored the word of God. And we've loved God. And we've taught our children right. And we've honored God in the house of God. And we've been faithful in attending church. And we've been faithful in our devotions. And we've helped our neighbor. And we've loved our neighbor. And we've done good to people. That's not going to be cut off. God doesn't forget your work and labor of love. Surely there is an end. So the question comes down, are you going to be the fool in verse 9? Or are you going to be the wise person in verse 15? If thine heart be wise. See, we all have that choice to make. What is your choice? What is your choice? Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've looked at these verses here this morning, we all have the choice to be a fool or a wise person. And Father, you say to us, cease from thine own wisdom. Lord, in our humanity, we can see things so clearly. It just seems like this is a thing to do. But God, you warn us. And in your wisdom, you realize that we realize that you know what you're talking about, God. Father, help us to discipline our children promptly when they disobey and to teach them to fear the Lord and to fear authority and instruction. It will pay off, God, because we'll have children that fear the Lord and love you and honor you. So help us toward this end, God, that we don't chase uncertain riches, that we don't live for the things of the world, but that we live for you, God. Certainly there is a hereafter. And our hope as believers will not be disappointed or cut off. Thank you for that promise, God. Father, help us not to be weary in well-doing, because we know in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Lord, help us put our hand to the plow and not look back, because God, we know that such is the kingdom of God. So Lord, encourage us as your people. Help us be strong and be faithful and be fruitful for thee, God. For we know that one day you reward us according to our work and labor. So encourage us. Help us as parents to be strong. Help us as your servants to be faithful. And help us as the body of Christ to love one another and to love you with all of our heart. And we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.